Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Good morning, live from Richland Center, Wisconsin. This is the Todd Alba Show on location at University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Richland, or as I like to say, the Richland campus, or how about just UW Center, Richland. That's the way I knew it. But welcome in. It is the second day of December 2022. Not only are we live here in the RC, it is a fantastic day for our fine producer, Mr. Eric Zommers. Eric, or Aaron, it's your birthday. If I get your name right, that'd be even better.
Yeah, I am 24 today, at the ripe old age of 24.
24. Wow. I if only I could go back to 24. And at 24, let's see. At 24, where was I? Was at UW Platteville, I think, at 24, or just leaving somewhere in there. So yeah, those were good times. Enjoy them. squeeze every drop of life out of it, Aaron. So any big plans?
My sisters are coming down, I suppose, from Manitowoc, and we are going to watch Disenchanted, the sequel to Enchanted.
Your sisters are going to watch Disenchanted with you. That's fantastic.
Yep. The other thing, I know I said that I was going to go see Glass Onion today with some friends, but then we were looking for showtimes and discovered that it only ran in theaters for 1 week starting on Thanksgiving, so we will not be doing that.
What the heck? No theater time. All right, fine.
Nope, not this time.
I just discovered this is live radio, and so let's see if Toddy can make this. Somehow, this camera is not working, Aaron. We can't see everybody. Let's see what's going on here. See if we can make it work. And look at that.
Hey, the magic of,
wow. See, you know why I figured that out? It's because I went to UW Richland and got a fine education in my professors. Perseverance. That's what Dr. Jerry Bauer taught me. So there, now you can see everybody. You can see the sign, everything. We're streaming. So that's great. Cool. We're going to tell you a little bit of what you need to know on this Friday, and then we're going to get into the big show. Weather forecast, if you're listening up in beautiful Amory today, it is going to be snowy on the ground, but cloudy in the sky and a high near 37 degrees today. For the start of your weekend on Saturday, some blowing snow before 7 a.m. and look for a high somewhere. Our actual wind chill values are going to be as low as negative 13. So they have the big holly jolly walk up there in Amory tomorrow. So bundle up in Mrs. and Mr. Claus outfits if you are going there. A little bit further south, for our listeners in Bull Falls Radio in beautiful Wausau today, looks like a high near 40, some increasing clouds, wind gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. And tomorrow, Saturday, a chance of flurries before noon, a high near 18 degrees. And here in southwest Wisconsin, if you listen to us on WRCE in Richland Center today, look for a little drizzle. But around 4 to 5 p.m., so it could get a little slickery on the roads. Temperatures are supposed to be a high of 48, so hopefully that's not going to freeze, but you never know this time of year. Just drive carefully. And then on Saturday, sunny and a high near 23. Ron Fruit was talking about earlier on WRCE this morning, several high wind warnings out for the area. So if you are driving on the highways pretty much around the state, you can see a wind gust as high as 35 to 40 miles per hour. So if you're driving a high vehicle, or if you're high while driving a vehicle, no, I'm just kidding. If you have a high vehicle, make sure that you do so carefully because it could get a little windy out there. Headlines today, it was an exciting night last night in Washington as President Biden welcomed French President Macron. Is that how you say it? You guys know French.
Macron.
See, it's fantastic to be surrounded with people smarter than you. President Macron from France came to the United States because we no longer have a lunatic in the White House. No, I'm just kidding. It was a good time had by all as some unilateral and bilateral talks were had. A wonderful dinner. A lot of people were wondering, should we still do this, right? Because these things got suspended during COVID. And the point was made last night on the Rick Smith Show on our network that, you know, it's a return to normalcy in the sense that countries can actually have diplomacy, right? So I think that's a good thing in today's world to actually talk to one another. and get together and discuss world issues. A little bit closer to home, a disturbing story here in Southwest Wisconsin from Baraboo. Both the high school and middle school were evacuated on Tuesday of this week. And as it turns out, there's this weird thing called swatting. And I'm not talking about like swatting flies. It's supposed to like bring in the SWAT team. And some people just do it for entertainment, I guess. Some people want to scare people. But it really, really disturbing that these fake calls, bomb calls were called into Baraboo. And the high school, middle school ended up being evacuated. Everyone's safe, but they're still investigating.
The same thing actually happened at Lincoln High School in Manitowoc recently. It was a student there who collaborated with somebody from Canada to do the actual call. Why? Really? I don't know. It's just so disappointing, really.
It is. It is very disappointing. My old eyes, I cannot see all the way over to my computer screen, Aaron. So help me out. How much time do we have before break right now?
Got a minute.
See, I can see your finger. That I can see. I feel like I'm in my old optometrist, Marshall Tenor, John Geeling, the best optometrist ever, because it was an experience. You understand? He'd go in and he'd say, is it better A or B? A. Now, why do you take your time? This could get very different. A. But he was so kind. And now I go to this young guy and he's like, A or B? C or D. And it's like, I don't know. I just, whatever. And now my glasses are broke. We'll get this all together. Come back with more. With actually interesting guests. We're talking about the University of Wisconsin Richland. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Friday, the start of your weekend, December 2nd, 2022. Glad to have you along with us. We are live on location. We have taken the show 3 days this week coming from Richland Center. The first two, of course, we had a little COVID with our turkey over Thanksgiving at our home, but I quarantined, I masked, I'm tested for now 5 days negative, so I've been let out of quarantine and back in the road.
And my understanding is, Todd, you've always known you had an infectious personality.
John Poole with the jokes already. I love it. I have been known to have an infectious. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But yeah, I tend to get under people's skin, perhaps. Probably some of the professors here, unfortunately. Let me apologize for that, first of all. But yeah, it's great to be back in Richland Center this time for reasons, I was going to say good reasons, but good reason to get information out, not such a good circumstance. I appreciate all of our guests coming here this morning. 4 people that I've known for a very, very long time, parts of almost all of my life. They are integral to this building and this university and this community here in Southwest Wisconsin. I want to start off the bat because I'm a big believer in transparency and honesty for those who might be listening outside of the RCE listening area in Amory or Wausau, or maybe you're streaming this on the Civic Media app. You can go to your app store, go down to Civic Media, download that puppy, and scroll down to other stations, WRCE, and then click on that. You can take us wherever your cell phone has service or Wi-Fi. But if you're not familiar with the story, and this is not about me, but I do think it's good to put it out there at the start so people know where I'm coming from. I have been a part of this campus pretty much since birth. My grandmother was Marge Wallace. She was the first dean, woman to be a dean in the state of Wisconsin, in the UW system. And she was integral into the building of this campus and then ended up being the dean here for several years. My dad was the athletic director here and the wrestling coach. And so I spent much of my childhood roaming the very building that we're in today. And I can look across the room and see a picture of my dear grandmother who lived in 96 and left us a couple of years ago. And I am only grateful that she's not here to see this day. On the other hand, it would be great just to see her bohemian temper get up and hear what she had to say, because I'm sure it would be entertaining nonetheless. So I want listeners and viewers to know I do have a bias in this. I care about the campus. I care about everybody at this table. And I have had experiences that have changed my life. And I don't say that gently or easily. The UW system announced last week that they were, for all intents and purposes, closing this campus at Richland Center. They sugarcoated it with saying they're going to move academic programs. But let's just cut to the chase. They're closing this puppy down. That's their intent after this academic year. It was a surprise to some. I don't think a surprise to everyone, although it's never easy when that announcement is made. We talked a lot last week. We talked to County Board Chair Marty Brewer. We talked to one of our guests here at the table as well, Linda Gentis, who is also a County Board Supervisor. And we talked to the mayor of Richland Center, Todd Copperdall, as well, and got their take on it and gave some of the history. And look at this. Also joining us online, because my producer is so fantastic, Dorothy Thompson, also joining us by phone, and she is with us as well. I want to start, first of all, just let's go around the table and introduce yourselves. Give us a 30-second on each of you, and then we'll come back to John Poole. John, go ahead first, please.
Okay, my name is John Poole, and I have a very close connection to this campus, like a lot of us do, Todd. Actually, I was a student here the very first year this campus opened. And then thanks to the infinite wisdom of your grandmother, I was hired to work here. And I started working here in the fall of 1971. I retired in 2013 as the assistant campus dean for student affairs. And so, like everyone else here at this table, still living in the community and have a very deep and sincere interest in what happens with this campus, not just because I used to work here, but because it's part of this community.
Thank you very much. Linda?
Hi, I'm Linda Gentis, and I've been a part of the campus with many different roles. I first came here because there was an international program and I met the international students, and then I became interested in the campus. Then I learned about the continuing education director's role. I applied for that and I became the director here for over 20 years. And part of that, I was also the international director for the programs. After I resigned from that, I became the first year initiative coordinator and also taught Lecture 100 classes. And then I retired. After that, I became a supervisor for Richland County. And I, this will be my fourth year of being on the Richland County Education Standing Committee, which is the committee from the county board that oversees the buildings and also has the direction to pursue educational and cultural endeavors in the community. And I am chair of that committee, and I am very much involved and have been with the UW-Platteville and the continuing discourse with them about how the campus could proceed. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Norlene?
Hi, I'm Norlene Emerson, and I grew up in the area. I'm a local farm kid and went to the campus when in the early mid-70s. So I got my education starting here and then transferred to the other UW campuses. After school, I came back and taught high school locally for quite a while and then went back to school again and then landed the big job of teaching here at the campus where I started, which was just awesome to give back to the community and to work with some of the people that were here when I was a student. And I'm also on the campus foundation board that gives scholarship to students here. And I work on our campus farm, maintaining trails and getting activities going up there for the community as well as any classes here on campus.
Great. Thank you. Kathy?
Hi, I'm Kathy Fry. My connection to the campus is a little different from everyone else's. I did not work here. I did not go to school here. But when we moved here from Illinois in 1986, I started looking around for ways to get involved with the community. I didn't really know anyone. My husband's family is from here, but I'm not. And one of the things that I've always been interested in is exchange programs. In high school, I was the president of our AFS club. And we found out through some friends that we had made here that there was an international program here. And in 1989, we hosted our first international student. This is how I met you. Our second student was a good friend of yours and still is. After some of those experiences, we also hosted some high school students. So Dennis and I have hosted about 25 students over the years, and we've also been like a mentor family or friendship family to many others here on the campus. And out of all of that, I ended up, after Judy Barnacle retired and gave up the position of foreign exchange director at the high school, which was a co-curricular position, I took that on. So I've been doing that for about 6 years, and I work with the international students over at the high school.
Thank you, Kathy. And, you know, just listening to all four of you, I hope listeners, whether they are in Amory and have people they know that go to UW-Barron, or whether they're in Wausau and they have students that go to Marathon, which I think now is called Stevens Point Wausau, or whether you're streaming and around the state, whether it's a Fox Valley or Waukesha, there are people just like these four individuals all over this state who are integral to their communities because of the two-year campus in those communities. And just listening to all four of you, I mean, I've known John literally since I was born. If it hadn't been for John Poole, I would have never made it through here and to Platteville with his mentorship and his advising. Linda was integral in the international program and me getting involved and meeting Kathy. And my godsons, who are like the closest thing I'll ever have to my own kids, I would not have them if it wasn't for the international program, and to have Kurt and Florcy as my closest friends and people from Central America. I mean, literally, I just grabbed this coffee mug. This is from a family vacation we had in El Salvador a few years ago with Silas Valle and his wife Marlene, and you know, I this campus is a result of that. And Norlene is someone I've known forever and been in plays with and theater in this campus. Some of the best times of my life. Her husband, Jim Agard, was my music professor and a great mentor and inspired me. My life would be completely different if not for the people at this table and others. I mean, look around. I mean, Bob Hershey, Garrett Deckard, Emily Haney, Jerry Bauer, Cliff Kavanaugh. I mean, go right around the room. I mean, and now you have Dorothy Thompson.
Todd, I was your student government advisor.
I was just about to get to you, Dorothy. I apologize. And thank you for jumping in. So and Dorothy was I was on student senate here. Troy Everson and I ran. This is actually a true story. We ran as a party back in the late 80s. We were the OSFER party, the Organized Students for Equal Representation. And we were a clean sweep. We cleaned the slate against the other party, which was called JPSP. It stood for John Poole School of Preppiness. And we beat them. We beat them in a runaway election. So Dorothy was the student government advisor. Dorothy Thompson, please introduce yourself.
Well, my interest in the campus, I retired in 2015 after 28 years doing several things on the side, but primarily working in, I retired as director of marketing and communication, so that was sort of my main focus. Now, and since I've retired, and even before, to be really honest, I'm a citizen, a community member, and I know just how huge and important economically, educationally, socially, in every way the campus is to this, not just to Richland Center and Richland County, but to the region.
And Dorothy, you were a great advisor just, you know, in terms of, I think to me, you were kind of the unofficial journalism advisor and communication advisor on this campus as well, at least when I was here. And helped me, inspire me to get me into broadcasting and ended up doing that down in Platteville as well. And wouldn't be doing this if it hadn't been for you. So I mean, each and every one of you, the four people here and Dorothy joining us by phone today, had just been so instrumental in my life. That's what these two-year center campuses mean to everybody across the state. We have so many people who have served as deans of this campus. And I want to read you a quote from one of my favorite, Dion Kempthorne, who was here from 1990 to 2001, who was not able to join us today. His mantra was, while he was here, was people, place, and program. He says, I believed that who we are and where we are and what we do ought to be connected. I've used that so many times. This campus is connected to this university, and we are going to explore why that is and what has led us to here and what is next. We'll do all of that and let all these folks talk to you when we come back. You're listening to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This, where did you come from? I said, where I come from. It's cornbread and chicken, where I come from. A lot of front porch sitting, where I come from.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Friday, the 2nd of December, 2022. Mr. Eric Zommer's birthday. We'll be celebrating that with Mimosa Friday. We're taking a page out of Kenny Chesney's book, and we're doing, instead of Mimosa Sunday, Mimosa Friday. I have my supplies. I left a little back at the station for Aaron, so we'll celebrate his birthday a little bit later, right?
Yeah, thank you very much. Whenever I have time and feel like it is an appropriate time in the morning to consume alcohol, I'll grab it out of the fridge.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Aaron.
You know, that is true. That is true.
Never too early for a mimosa. Welcome back. We are live on location at the UW Richland campus in Richland Center, Wisconsin. We are here with our panel of folks talking about the announced closure of this campus and what is next. I want to begin this segment by, I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from my grandmother, Marge Wallace. When the 40th anniversary of the campus came out, each dean was asked to write something, a reflection. And this is what Marge Wallace wrote. She says, one beautiful October day in 1962, I went to my office at the Richland County Teachers College, turned on WRCO radio, and heard that the Wisconsin Coordinating Committee of Higher Education had published working paper number 56, indicating the need for additional institutions of higher education in Wisconsin. This was the green light. And so it began. And one of those people who was there early on, as he said earlier, as a student, was John Poole. And John, if you can just start us off and give us a little history and background of the campus and kind of what's led us to this day.
Well, what's really led us to this day, I think, is a very deep concern that all of us have, and not just us, but hundreds and thousands of people who've experienced this campus, the concern as to the future of UW-Richland, and I know it's UW-Platteville-Richland, but I knew it as UW-Richland.
We all did.
It's much easier to say.
Exactly.
But it became very apparent to us that the enrollment level could not sustain a campus. And so after talking and talking and worrying about enrollment all the time, it was probably late summer of 2021 when we were contacted by a guy named Tripp Stroud, who was an attorney in Spring Green. And at the time, he was in a campaign for statewide office. He subsequently withdrew, but he really had a concern for maintaining this campus in the community. And so as a result of that, several of us got together and formed what we called the Friends of the Richland Campus. And that initial group included Tripp, Linda Gentis, Barbara Wentz, who was Assistant Campus Dean for Administrative Services when she retired, Dorothy Thompson, Marketing and Communications, myself, and Bob Bellman, who was a guidance counselor, school counselor at River Valley High School, and a former member of the Richland Center City Council and the Richland County Board. So that was kind of the initial group, and we had our first meeting October 1st of 2021. We talked about key considerations that we had. One was economic impact. And I think somebody here will be talking a little bit more in depth about the history of economic impact. We talked about the overall impact and the presence of this campus in the area, its presence as a cultural hub, an academic hub. We talked about enrollment, the need for a dedicated recruiter, you know, someone who would actually go out and recruit students to attend UW-Richland and not have a multi-choice recruitment effort. We know that the Richland Campus County Foundation offered to hire a full-time recruiter, and Platteville declined that offer. We're not quite sure why they declined the offer, but...
Can I just interrupt for a second? I just, I mean, that was like one of the first bizarre things I've ever heard. Yes. Because the foundation of this campus has been phenomenally successful. I don't know this for a fact. I have to think it has to be one of, not the most successful foundation of any two-year campus in the state. Okay. And so when you have locals who are saying, we ain't asking for money, we'll do it ourselves. All we want is just the permission to do it. And they say no. What, did they ever give you a reason at all?
Norlene, I don't know. I've never heard a reason. I've never heard a rationale.
And what year was that? Or ish? I mean, how long ago?
2019.
Probably 2019.
So 2019, they basically said, no, we don't want you to have your own recruiter, even if you're going to pay for it. All right, just want to get
But even as recently as a few weeks ago,
right?
The Campus Foundation had again said, if you will hire a dedicated recruiter, we will donate $100,000 a year to support the campus. And of course, that was never really responded to except with the announcement of the closure of the campus.
So again, the local community says we have 100 grand a year we'll dedicate to a recruiter and essentially for the campus, mm-hmm. and no response.
Right.
All right, go ahead.
So we also talked about the lack of tenure track faculty on campus and the need for people here. We used to talk about being high tech and high touch, you know, and there are so few tenure track faculty members left, I think maybe five. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, we used to worry when we were down to like 14 tenure track plus ad hoc faculty. Tenure track faculty members are the ones who build programs. They're the ones who do shared governance in a key role. And they're just, you know, when you have five or so tenure track faculty, you just can't get done what needs to get done. We talked about the international program and how important that has been to this campus and the community. And I know Kathy's going to talk about that. But I'll tell you one other disconcerting thing. One of the things that Platteville did was they hired our last full-time international student coordinator to be on the Platteville campus. They hired a part-time person in her place, and the part-time person was told, don't ever talk to anyone from a different country.
So let me just get this straight. I think it's important to just take a step back here because I'm not the brightest bulb on the string. So a campus such as Richland, and again, I don't know this for sure, but just based on my experience, a couple of people here at the table had a lot to do with that, Linda Gentis and Kathy Fry. The full-time international coordinator was sent to Platteville, 60 miles away. And Platteville was told the part-time person here at Richland, don't talk to anybody from a different country. Do I have that right?
That's true. And we know that that's true because we heard it from almost the horse's mouth.
So if you look at online comments, you look at this week's Richland Observer, I mean, people are saying, well, you know, part of the quote unquote downfall of the campus is COVID and international students, you know, couldn't come here anymore. Well, geez, when you have the edict for the person taking care of the program saying, don't talk to people from other countries, kind of hard to get people from other countries here. That's just my take.
Well, and we realize there are fewer high school graduates coming out of high schools. That's true. We realize COVID was a serious issue in this country. But enrollment at this level is not because of COVID. And it's not because of the declining number of high school graduates. It didn't have to be this way. Right. If you had a coordinated recruitment plan, if you had a parallel marketing and communication plan, it just didn't have to be that way. We talked about dealing with issues at both the local level with UW-Platteville and the state, and we identified some roadblocks, one being the lack of a full-time dean. If you don't have someone in charge who can lead the academic program and connect with the community and engage with the community, that's a real problem. Mm-hmm. We talked about the problem of splitting resources between the campuses. We talked about the support from the UW-Platteville chancellor, who at the time was Dennis Shields, and had not been on campus for 2.5 years. We talked about the disorganization and the lack of vision for a 2-year campus. And basically we decided and determined Platteville did not know how to run a 2-year campus, even though they did so successfully from 1967 to 1971. And I'm taking too much time, so I'll just kind of shut up for a while. But we talked about time, money, marketing as also impediments. We began outreach to UW-Platteville, Richland people. We invited Melanie Platt Gibson, who was a coordinator here for a while. We met with her different times. She began to meet with community groups. It was, I think, back in December of last year, our friends group met here on campus with Mike Compton, John Christensen, and Melanie Platt Gibson. And we asked them, what can we do to help? We wanted to do anything possible to help boost enrollment, to help sustain and grow the campus. And then they said one of the first things we could do was to help spread a positive message in the community and dispel myths. And to that end, we began to coordinate a couple of community information sessions. The first one was held in January of this year, and we had 42 community persons who came. And we did it by invitation because we didn't have room to have an overflow crowd. On March 25th, former governor and UW system president Tommy Thompson came to the campus. Our friends group was not invited to participate, so we pretty much stayed away as we were trying to be playing nice. Now we realize we should have just come. Mm-hmm. And then in April, we hosted our second community information session with about 30 people who mm-hmm. came. And then in July of this year, we met here in this room, Melville Hall Pippin Conference Center, with Interim Chancellor Tammy Evtovich and her staff. Mm-hmm. And again, hopes were, what could we do? And we shared with them a whole list of concerns, very detailed concerns that we thought needed to be addressed for this campus to get back on the right track. So that's kind of where we are. After that July meeting, we didn't meet for a while.
Well, they ignored all our, she wouldn't acknowledge that we had any of the observations. They ignored the whole meeting and just talked about a program that they were going to offer at Platteville.
See, I think this is really important to set this base. And again, I want to remind people who are not listening in Southwest Wisconsin Richland Center, they're saying, well, you know, why is Todd taking so much time on a Friday to talk about this issue? It really doesn't affect me. Well, let me just remind you that, I mean, I have a handy dandy map right here of the UW system. If you were in Wausau, you have UW Marathon County, which is now, I guess, Stevens Point, Wausau. You have UW Marshfield in Wood County. You have Barron Barron County outside of Amory. And then you've got, you know, Baraboo as well as Richland. You've got Fox Valley. You've got Marinette and Sheboygan. The list goes, our listeners down Waukesha, UW Waukesha. So this to me is the canary in the coal mine. And what's happening here in Richland Center could happen to anybody, any campus across this state. And I think it's good that John set this up. And I don't mean to be trite or dismissive. I'm trying to use a little bit of humor, because if I don't, I'm just going to go berserk. Because I'm going to be so irate that one of my friends in Texas called me up, and he goes, I listened to you the other day, and he said, I was about ready to pass the collection plate. You sound like you were taking us to church. And I said, all right, Alex, I get it. You know, Todd needs to be a little bit less preachy. But I'm passionate about this, right? And everybody here at this table is passionate. And what John just laid out was so bizarre. I mean, to think that we're going to pay in a day and age when Republicans in the legislature are clamoring for money and the education takes too much money, here is something that Republicans should love self-funded small business essentially stepping up and saying, we'll pay for a recruiter, and the university is told no. To have your international director said, don't talk to people from other countries. I mean, this is just bonkers. And so what I'm trying to lay out here this morning is to let people know that this announced closure is not a failure of anybody locally in the Richland Center. They have done everything and more not to get here, and yet we're here. So where did this happen? Clearly Platteville, clearly System, clearly Republicans in the state legislature, and we're going to get into that and more after this break. Thanks for joining us live from Richland Center. You're listening to the Todd Allbon Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Trying to make a living. Back to the Todd Allbon Show, and we are live here in Richland, Central Wisconsin, at the University of Wisconsin Richland, and we are talking about the announced closure by the UW System and UW Platteville last week of the suspension of academic programs, is I believe the way that they couched it in the letter from System. But I think everybody at this table is a realist and has been around long enough to know what this really means is the closure of this campus. We did invite, just so people know, we did invite the chancellor from Platteville, Tammy, how do you say her name? Ivetovich, thank you. Joanne Krulutz, by the way, our fine news director from WRCO, WRCE, is here in the room, and she has all the facts, and she is here to help me out as well. And all this will be snippets on the WRCO news as well as WRCE. And if you missed anything, you can go back to the Civic Media page and go to shows and find the Todd Allbon Show. Everything we talked about today was in podcast form, and you can listen to it and download it at your convenience. So we appreciate everybody tuning in, whether it's at WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, WXCE in beautiful Amory, or streaming live around the world on the Civic Media app. We welcome you in. So we're talking this morning with the Friends of the Campus group here about what has led up to this, kind of some of the craziness, and also kind of where things go from here. I know that one of our guests has a little bit of a time constraint this morning, and Dorothy Thompson, we appreciate you joining us, taking the time by phone this morning. Dorothy, what was kind of your initial reaction, and what do you see, some of the things that you see, can you share with us from your perspective this morning?
I guess my initial reaction was it was sort of like getting broken up with by text. It wasn't, it was very
That's
abrupt.
So good.
I also, I don't know, there are other concerns I have besides just our campus. I know there are some powerful groups in the state, in the nation, who have a lot of money and are opposed to public education. I don't know exactly what role that plays in all of this, but I know there's money from some of those groups coming into Wisconsin and to our political system. So that's something just to think about in the back of your mind. What role might that be playing in all of this? And I know people talked about how COVID reduced populations on campus and population declines. And, you know, Richland County did have a huge population decline. It was 4%. And across the United States, I think I read it was about 4%. It's certainly in the single digits that COVID reduced enrollment. But there had to be much more going on at Richland, because our enrollment dropped 87%. It wasn't just that there are fewer students, or it was almost like an effort to take the little campus that could and stop its engine.
Dorothy, you hit on such a key point. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't have the figures in front of me, so if you do, correct me, please. If memory serves, by 2014, this campus had near record enrollment of 516-ish students on campus. Today, there is approximately 60.
And there was a very healthy enrollment. It was just a vibrant place. Everything was going very, very well. And then the regionalization certainly had a very bad impact. It sort of amounted to trying to have one parent run three families in three different cities at the same time. It was an impossible task.
So I know former system president Catherine Lyle, years ago when she visited this campus, she called this campus, UW-Richland, the crown jewel of the UW system. So how is it that the crown jewel, which was self-sustaining with vast community support, with record enrollment, one of the first, I believe, two-year campus to have its own dorms and housing, with enrollment over 500, how does that just happen to go down to 60? Well, geez, I don't know. Take away the dean, take away the recruiter, take away the funds. It doesn't take long to get to see how that happened, Dorothy.
Right. You take away the faculty, the staff, the everything. And gee, look, they can't do it. It's just very sad. And it seemed quite intentional to me.
I would agree. This is the question I have, Dorothy. I've asked people on and off the record about this. Why do UW-Richland? Why now? I mean, you've been around, Dorothy. You've been part of this campus and part of this system for years. I mean, they've talked about closing Superior, Parkside, Marathon County, Marinette. This has been going on for years, and it's always been, well, we don't have enough funds to stay a structural deficit. There is a $6.5 billion, with a B, billion-dollar surplus in the state, and yet they are starving Richland on the vine.
Yes, it's kind of a mystery to me why they would do that. And that's because, I guess, many of us think that having a campus in the community is a really good thing for the public. It's even if you don't go to the campus or you have no interest in it, it has a huge economic impact in our community. I mean, the students, when we had 500 students, I mean, you've got students, they're shopping, they're buying gasoline, they're getting their car fixed, they're buying clothes, they're going to the movie, you know, and all the people who provide for them are buying their supplies often locally. And so it has an impact on everyone, whether or not they are a student, were a student, or will perhaps never be a student. So it's just, in a community like ours, that's like losing a major industry.
You're 100% right, Dorothy. It is like losing an industry. I talked about this earlier this week on this show. For those that don't know, I used to work for former State Senator Dale Schultz, was his chief of staff his last term, and worked for him on and off for over 20 years. We actually had a plan in place called a rapid response team. When businesses would close down, that Dale would call and he would want to be there that morning. And Tom Jackson, his longtime staffer, had a list of people that we would put into action on a moment's notice. There was a plan. I don't see a plan from State Senator Howard Markline. I don't see a plan from Platteville. There is no plan.
No, and some of us have been to the listening sessions with Senator Markline and Representative Kurtz, and we've brought the concerns about the campus to their attention more than once, and I can tell you the response I've had. Representative Kurtz said,
Dorothy, can you hold the response? I know you got to go at 9:15. Can you hold the response till after the news at 6 after? We'll come back on. We just got to take a break for news.
Sure.
All right. Stay with us. We're going to talk more with Dorothy Thompson, more at the panel, and also an exclusive right here in Civic Media on the Todd Allball Show. Former Chancellor of the College's Extension, Kathy Sheehan, in an exclusive interview this morning. Sandine, pardon me, I say it wasn't Kathy. Kathy Sandine will join us at 9:15. She has a